You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can also listen on the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to listen. And now 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey's content is available on the iHeartRadio app. So if you're looking for another way to listen, you can do so on iHeartRadio. George Ruggiero posting up for hour number 5 and hour number 6 of producing today. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon.
Has your butt just fused to the seat yet?
Nah, yeah. I try and get at least a couple steps in here.
There you go.
Have to do it.
Yeah, just wait till you start becoming like a hunchback. Like that's the producer's look. It's just your back starts to crush and your gut just goes out. Glad to have my guy back in studio. He of course is Coach Hurt. He's the head coach and team director of Team Thad, of course, of the Nike EYBL circuit. Follow him on all socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach, good day, sir.
Great day. Good Monday.
Good Monday to all. So, of course, it is Overreaction Monday. We'll get into a few things that I think as we get prepared for whatever NBA free agency may or may not be, we'll discuss that. I want to get Coach's thoughts on that as well. Then about 2:35, Jason Munn's going to join the program like he always does. He's got a new mailbag available over at commercialappeal.com. We also got some clarity and closure on the future of Dane Danger, as Dane is now heading towards the NBA. We'll discuss that. Perhaps take a look at his best projection for the Tigers starting five. We'll get into the list to start hour number 2. We'll talk about the sports weekend during hour number 2 as well. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But, Coach, I wanted to get your thoughts, and I'm not saying I'm expecting you to have read all 600 pages of the CBA, or maybe it's 400 pages of the CBA. But one thing that I'm kind of paying attention to is I'm wondering if we're now seeing this version of the CBA where everybody's now having to start to pay their big guys all the big money. And now we're kind of seeing the effects. I'm wondering if we have a situation where everybody thought everybody was going to get paid, but in reality, what's actually happening is the big stars are getting even more money than ever. And now what we're looking at is all these guys thought like, oh yeah, man, I'm going to hit free agency and there's going to be this big money. But now it feels like the story of the weekend is guys maybe finding that there's not as big of a market as they thought. And in an effort to get more guaranteed money, guys are giving up more money per year. They're opting out of deals. They're opting out of deals that were more money per year. But they're taking, you know, for instance, I think we had Let's see. We had Van Vliet that opted out of, I think, a $40 million deal, and then he took two at 25 a year, so $50 million guaranteed, but he gets 2 years of it. We've had Kyrie do his deal, Harden do his deal. Let's see. Who else am I missing, George? I know we've been, like, rattling them off. It's now, but basically, it feels like what a lot of guys have been doing is, all right, well, I'm going to give up $40 million, but I'll take, you know, the $25 to $30 million deal, but tack on another year for me. So I'm going to get more money overall, but I'm going to cut how much money I'm getting per year.
Yeah. So what I've been seeing, Jeff, is a little slightly different. Is like, so Kyrie and Harden, they actually got a little more, but they got out of that to just get another 2 or 3 years. Yeah. At their age or whatever like that. I think Van Vliet took a cut, but I don't think his last year, because I remember when that deal first went down, people was like, holy smoke, I don't think that last year was guaranteed. You and George can tell me if I'm wrong.
That everything you're saying sounds correct, but I'm now in that mode of where I've been flooded with free agency stuff. Like, yeah, okay, go ahead.
I've got the full list of guys that have declined options and then either signed an extension or done something like,
all right,
similar. So we've got Kyrie, Van Vliet. That was the Sam Merrill situation with Cleveland. Davion Mitchell did this in Miami. Both Zaire and Daron Sharp in Brooklyn. Batum did this with the Clippers, as did Harden.
Batum was another one I was thinking of, because Batum...
Joey Ingles did this there in Minnesota, but that's like a really small one. Same with Garrett Temple and Colin Gillespie. Both those are, you know, really short minor deals, but instead of going to the market and declining the option, they just declined it and immediately re-upped with their team.
Exactly.
So that's what it seems like a lot of these guys are doing, are declining the option now and either tacking on extra term or just immediately re-signing with the team instead of touching UFA. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, and then obviously on some of these deals, we don't know where the options are, because
these are all intents to sign with,
right, these
whoever,
are
whoever.
So we don't know, like, okay, is this really a 3-year deal, or is this really like a 2-year deal? Is this really, we don't have a lot of the info, but it does seem to me, and maybe we'll find out more this afternoon or as the week goes on, but this idea of there being like this insane free agency sweepstakes, we're just not seeing it. Now, is that a byproduct of the CBA? Maybe it's something I'm eyeing. It's also possibly the byproduct of there's really only two teams out there with cap space. And so because of that, there's a lot of guys that are seeing the... I feel like most guys are like, I can't wait to get free agency because that's when I can get overpaid. And what we're seeing now is like teams are, hey, man, like we don't have that much space. Here's kind of what we're looking at. And so it's like, I don't know if that's the result of everyone is now financially motivated by the new CBA, or the fact that really there's only two teams with the Nets and the Wizards. And the Wizards, it feels like their space is drying up. We know the Nets are going to have space, but when you really only have two teams with space and a bunch of guys that are hitting the market, it just feels to me like guys that thought they were going to get all this big money, I think I'm going to be surprised if they wind up getting like these massive, massive deals.
No, I agree. So, like you said, and great list too, George. The main ones that matter originally was the three you named off, and that was Fred, Kyrie, and Harden.
Kyrie and Harden's.
So
why is this not listed?
So those three to me, they like, I'm getting a little older. Let me be safe.
And Kyrie's coming off the injury.
The injury. I think Kyrie and Harden and even Fred. Fred is not as a superstar and been as a, you know, not as a, not saying they're distracted. You get what I'm saying, as a Kyrie and Harden. But I think all three of them are in a place in life where it's like, I'm making good money. I'm actually on a team that's winning. I'm comfortable. Let me extend, but not rock the boat. Get my fair due, but keep the team good enough to compete. And I think, you know, all three of them. Because, you know, legacy is on the line, too, for Kyrie and James Harden. Now, I feel like this hard cap in the CBA is more on what the Grizzlies and certain teams have done more than it is on some of the signs.
I think that's more than fair to say.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the Grizzlies and certain other teams with stars that know they finna have to pay crazy, 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 and they probably can only pay two now. Like, I don't know if this is a rumor or not. Like, they're saying, well, no, what the Grizzlies are doing and what Boston is doing, this is more of because of that. Because,
well, then Boston also has the ownership issue where the previous family that sold the team, they were willing to, like, they're just like local, super rich Boston people, and they were like, we'll pay to keep the team as good as possible. Well, then there's a family dispute between the old man and the kids, and they sell the team. And so now you've got a new ownership group that just paid $6 billion for a franchise, and they're kind of doing the move of like, let's get under that second apron. Let's get under that and then see what happens. And then they were able to get off. They're able to get off Kristaps' contract. They trade Drew
Holiday.
And so that right there saved them a ton of money.
Now, I don't know with, you know, because I'd be getting tricked by some of this, AI, but they were saying that potentially with the right offer that Brown and White was up. Did y'all talk?
You didn't get tricked. I just never know.
I don't know how much of that is like guys saying, oh, we heard this.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Got the source.
But
it could
what
be
you
posturing.
Saw was not from like.
It wasn't
Ball
from like
Sack
a random,
Sports.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like,
you didn't get scintilled.
But it also seems like part of what they were doing was to get the money to where they can. I think it's pretty obvious to me they're keeping Brown. And it seems more likely than not that they're keeping White. They did kind of throw out the, well, if you're going to come get Derek White, it's like a Mikal Bridges type offer. Like, they want like five first. So they're at least like putting it more on the record that they're exploring it. But it also seems like maybe people aren't going to do that for 31-year-old Derek White.
Who is that big man right now?
So that's a good question.
Don't have one.
So they were thinking that they could bring our Vandy boy back. Luke Kornet. Okay. I think Horford's still under contract.
Horford's a UFA.
But I thought they were going to, well, sorry, I should say again. I think they think they're keeping Horford.
Yeah, but I don't know if that solves your big man problem.
No, I think that's more than fair.
Especially at his age.
I think they thought they were going to be able to keep both. And now,
if they can do that, that's.
They could have kept both. They made the trade.
It seems like. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're talking about the two you're talking about.
Kornet and Horford.
Not Tingus Pingus.
Right. Now it seems like there's going to be a pretty good market for Kornet because there's just not a. There's not a ton of bigs.
Especially with everyone assuming Ayton is going to L.A.
Lakers, correct. Right, so I wouldn't food on that, right?
No.
No, everyone's assuming that. Is he a clutch guy? Because who else today? I think the Jazz just bought out Jordan Clarkson,
who's a rich
guy. And he is a Rich Paul guy.
Yeah, he's a clutch guy.
Yeah. Is Ayton?
I don't think Ayton is a clutch guy. I could be wrong. I think he was he with Wasserman, maybe?
That
does sound right if he's a Wasserman guy, too.
It's been so long since we talked, about a low-key center, who the agent is.
It is Nina Namakian and Bill Duffy.
Duffy.
So that's Wasserman?
No, that's WME.
Okay, William Duffy. Morris.
Okay. Duffy, yeah, so he's a Duffy guy. And with being a Duffy guy, I'm a little scared because does the Lakers have a salary cap? Because Duffy is going to want, like, the biggest, like, I don't know if he's trying to take any pay cuts to help LeBron win a championship.
I guess the one thing that will help is Portland did agree to buy him out. So he's going to get most of that money.
I want to say he was owed total contract was like 65, and he's going to get 50 out of that.
Yeah, so he's basically getting 80% of it. But I'm with you. This idea, like, why would you give the Lakers a discount? I mean, literally, LeBron just did the opt-in and then just be like, basically, like, these guys aren't good enough.
Okay, got it. So the Lakers currently they're in the luxury tax, but they're not at the aprons yet. They're $19.7 million under the first apron.
So does that include, though, Reeves opting out?
Remember when we were talking to, I think they have a roster hold.
Okay, but I think the thought is Reeves opt out of his deal, and they were expecting like he's going to sign.
I think his opt-out's actually next year. Yeah, his player option is 26-27.
So what was I reading today that he was going to opt out this weekend?
That Reeves stuff?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I don't know if that was some mess, but everybody was saying that Reeves got offered a deal. He turned it down. He opted out.
Is he extension eligible maybe?
Yes. Here's what it is. This is NBA Central, not NBA Central. Austin Reeves declines a max contract extension that would have paid him 89 over four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still under contract this year. His player option is for next season.
They were trying to get it early.
Why are we announcing my intention to opt out next summer?
A year in advance.
Yeah, I don't know that they are.
Well, I guess when he didn't take the max, it just automatically you would automatically think that okay, unless they come with something stronger than that.
I don't think they can, if that's a max.
Hold on, quick question. I need to take a quick 30 here. Coach, you know guys, you know players that are going to be in college, guys that want to go to the NBA, you know guys in the NBA, you know guys that have been out of the NBA. Does this not make everybody's head hurt? I feel like the last 72 hours I've been taking crazy pills because I watch this sport, I follow the sport fairly closely, and I have felt just migraine-type headaches trying to keep up with, wait, they're doing what? They're announcing what? That guy's going where? And it started, obviously, with the draft and being annoyed by the draft that they refused to sit there and go, this guy got drafted by the Grizzlies. He's wearing a Portland hat, but he got drafted by the Grizzlies, so we have to sit there and ignore everything else going on. But I just do not feel like your product to someone that watches pretty much every single night. I do not feel like your product should make my head hurt like this.
So this is what I do now, Jeff, because I have experienced this at one point. I'm not going to get deep into it until tonight.
Wake me up in September when they're getting ready to go to camp.
My thing is when you do it too many days before July the 1st,
yep.
It's not official till tomorrow. So when I used to do all of that, sometimes it was more sexier stuff going on. But to me, and I always say crazy stuff like it should be against the law, not go to jail against the law, but just to make my life easier. You can't announce rumors or nothing until July 1st. You can't say the week before we have agreed, but we – no, and I guess as media, we want to get stuff – no, everybody wake up at midnight, and the balloon get the bust, and you learn everything. But nothing can be revealed. You know, I feel like this even about me, and you talked about even with the transfer portal. I feel like you can talk all you want to kids, but you cannot commit – until like the Wednesday or something after the national championship game. Because to me, and I know I'm jumping, that gives...
I think this is all related because then, like, you know, at the same time, you're following up because the draft obviously impacted certain guys. Some guys want to test the waters, and guys like Cedric wind up sticking in the draft, but then other guys don't, and then they're back in the portal. And then you're like, wait, did that guy stay in the draft? Did that guy go? Like, is this guy going to be a free agent? Like, it all blends together, and I'm just like, wake me up when the teams are set.
Like, he dot his I across his T's, but what was the point of committing to Duke? You just want to tell your grandkids you was a Duke commit, because that's a big thing, brotherhood, to be a part of.
So the only thing, and you can tell me if my understanding would be wrong, but my interpretation of it was, hey, Duke had this amount of money. They targeted Cedric to be the guy. But if Cedric doesn't commit, like, hey, we might move on. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a lot of that where, you know, I think that was kind of the issue. Our Tulsa boy, TCU Tulsa.
The boy that just was yes. All-American last year, PJ
Haggerty.
Yep.
I think PJ kind of fell into that where he saw all the guys getting money, but I think a lot of that was, A, guys either re-upping with their teams and they were getting the premium, or it was like the guys right at the point of the calendar that you're talking about, which was there was this mad frenzy, like, we got to get this all done right after the Final Four because then the house settlement's going to go through. Spoiler alert, it didn't for another 6 or 8 weeks. But then everybody felt like there was this mad dash, and so I think PJ's like, well, I've got to get into that. The only thing that makes sense to me is you go ahead, I know I've got this offer from, because like we talked about with PJ, PJ in the end would have been better off when Memphis offered him $3 million, he would have been better off taking that.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. He wanted to test the waters, thinking there's more. The only thing that makes sense to me is Cedric did the opposite, where I got this Duke offer. Worst case scenario, I'm going to Duke.
So let me ask you this. You say Duke didn't want to spend the money, but now they still got the money, right, and don't have as many players. And the second thing I want to make on that, before you answer here, Jeff, is at one point, I think the NCAA knew that they was being unfair with kids having to test the water. At one point, you test the water with an agent, you couldn't come back. It was just stupid, right?
Yeah, it used to be you could test the combine waters, but if you
had an agent,
correct,
you couldn't. But how do you think I'm going to get to all these
right, exactly,
and stuff, yeah, right? To me.
Then we invented something called the financial advisor.
Yeah.
Who also happened to be, well, would you look at that? Also an agent.
Yeah, or work for an agent,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So
imagine that.
Now I think they tried to fix it, but like the NCAA, you know, and all of us, you fix one problem, it's another problem. Now I think they're allowing them to stay in too long. You see what I mean?
I mean, because like, what, they could basically go up until...
like late May.
Yeah, like, I almost thought you could like go up to like June.
You might be right.
Because, what, the draft was last Thursday, which was, what, the 26th?
And you got to say, whatever the day is, you got to say you in or out. The college kids got all the way up to that last day. And I think that is like either right before Memorial Day or right out there.
I mean, that sounds right.
I think that's, to me as a college coach, no one cares about college coaches no more because they're making millions of dollars. We don't want to hear them crying. But now, like John Shire, he's okay. Duke is going to still be a top 5 to 10 team. But imagine if like Memphis, PJ committed back to Memphis and stayed in the draft and then said to the last day, that would have really hurt us.
No, I mean, I think it's why in the end, Penny made the right call when PJ said no to the $3 million deal. Penny said all the right things publicly, you know, hey, the door's still open, but Penny moved on. Like that was when they went and got Zach from South Carolina. That's when they got
Doug.
That's when they also
Doug,
got
Sincere
McCormick. Right, McCormick.
Yeah,
Part.
No, Sincere Part. Who's Sincere McCormick?
That's a running back.
Yeah. I was gonna say, but
yeah, that's that is.
But this is why, like, I just feel like there's so much like that. I can't keep track of everything. It's like, yeah, when everyone makes the joke, like you need like the cork board with the pieces and everything. It's like, I need more than that. Because like half the time you got names on the cork board and then they wind up, well, we're still in the draft. Maybe, maybe not. Like, I think the other problem is, and maybe this truly might be a me thing. I'm at the point right now where I need a break with the NBA. Like, we just got done with the finals. This is where the NFL really has it down pat. By the time the season ends, all right, you get a couple of months to get ready for the draft, do the draft, then we're going to have, well, do they do free agency? When does league year start? Because they go free agency, then draft, right?
Yes.
NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do it. Yeah,
they do it the opposite.
NBA.
Isn't it like
maybe February, maybe March 1 is league year?
Well, because they do the Super Bowl in early Feb.
Correct. Right? And that's getting later and later.
For sure.
Because that's heads up.
Well, they give you a couple weeks for the
when we get to the 18 game schedule.
Oh, geez.
Super Bowl Sunday is going to be President's Day weekend. Like,
that might be kind of great.
Did it used to be June back in the day? I mean, not June, my bad. January, late January, like
so,
when
I mean,
we were coming
yeah.
up.
Yeah, when we were growing up. Because, well, then you would have some weird years where there would be 1 week in between the conference championships and the Super Bowl, and then there would be 2 weeks, and they never really established what years were going to be 2 week years and what 1 week years. They just kind of did it. But yeah, there were plenty of Super Bowls in our lifetime that were played in the month of January.
And then the Pro Bowl used to be
the week before.
They switched it to it before in the last few years because nothing was going on. Because you remember, the guys used to be able to win the championship and then go play the Hawaii vacation. Then they made it where if you made the championship,
you couldn't do the Pro Bowl anymore.
Then it became a point that the Pro Bowl, either you was getting hurt or was just became awful. So now they have changed it to
Robert Edwards, the Georgia running back. Remember, he was playing like beach football for a Pro Bowl something, and he just ripped his knee to shreds. Mm. And then that was where everyone's like, I'm good here.
Like, hey man, the sandal getcha.
Because it used to be sandal so serious. Getcha. Who was it that towed a kicker up?
Sean Taylor, right?
That was my boy.
I'm pretty sure Sean Taylor absolutely blew the punter up.
Well, I thought it was either him or Ed Reed, but one of them in a Pro Bowl just went.
Now you say Ed Reed now.
They both Hurricanes. I know one of my Hurricanes.
And those are both guys that doesn't matter. That's two guys
that if they saw a punter going wide, like that's a free space.
It was one of them. I'm thinking Ray Lewis.
I'm pretty sure it was a safety.
No, you're thinking of Ed Reed who did that to the punter. Sean Taylor, if I remember, it was like one of those, like, it was just an actual Pro Bowl, like in the game.
Just lit up a safety, something over the middle?
Yes, just tagged someone.
Yeah, that's what it is. It was Ed Reed with the punter.
And
people couldn't
believe. Sean Taylor just came down flying and. Yes.
And that is no Pro Bowl. Now
they're in like a warehouse in Central Florida, like throwing into some rings.
Yeah, Orlando.
No, it's just skills competition pretty much.
Well, yeah, but like the quarterbacks like throw like
into like the buckets or whatever.
Yeah, and then like you've got.
It's like skee ball with a football.
Pretty sure like you've got some guys flipping tires. I think there's tug of war in there too.
Seeing
the big boys get after it is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
Orlando, not Hawaii, but it's not a bad place. It's a little easier to get to. I'm more Orlando guy.
And if you want to go take your kids to Disney World, like, hey, you can do that. Like, it's fine. I mean, I like, normally the NFL, like, this is my biggest problem with the NBA. It's like, the NFL normally would sit there and go, no, we're going to quadruple down on the Pro Bowl. This matters. It's significant. They realized guys aren't going to take it seriously. All right, let's come up with something else. And they did the Pro Bowl games, and so you got the flag football, but they admitted defeat. Whereas the NBA feels like they just keep trying to figure out a way to go, like, no, the All-Star game is going to matter. And it's like, wake me up if it does, because like, I'll believe it when I see it.
So do they still do the flag football game? But
yeah, they
right?
do the flag, yeah, and I feel flag. Like Eli and Peyton always coach a team 1 year.
So let me ask you this: do you think it matter because? The NBA got to stay on it so much because it's in the season instead of.
I think there's probably something to it in the sense that the NFL knows their big business convention, if you will. It's coming up next week anyway. When they go to the Super Bowl, that's when every corporate partner, all the ad deals, that's all going to be the next week anyway. I do think it helped and made them like change their like they were willing to pull the plug. Much more quickly, whereas the NBA seems to be unwilling to do that. Now, I don't know if that's because the All-Star Game and All-Star Weekend have become such a significant part of the television package and whatnot. Like, but they seem to act as if it's a non-starter on reimagining the All-Star Game.
Yeah, and maybe is it the point that although the product is bad, let's say you owned a burger or chicken place, both of you girls.
All right.
Let's say your quality isn't as good anymore, but because you're popular on social media, you still making the same amount of money or more. Some people don't understand they're not as good anymore. And I said it to say, All-Star Weekend, a lot of people don't even come for the event. You fly to one of them. It is a hangout
It seems like that's what a majority of people are doing.
It's for everything that's not the actual events.
It's going down.
Now, I also think the other thing that helps the NFL is the NFL announces the Super Bowl is going to be in this city on this date. So everybody knows where it is. Whereas the NBA, the finals could be anywhere. And it's not like... you know, it's not a week long in this location where everyone can conduct business. I understand the complications that come into it. I just look at it in the sense that you keep telling me all the ways that you're going to make this thing better, and it's none of it's working.
You just made sense, though. You really just answered something. All-Star Weekend is where everybody knows where it's at.
Correct.
So people can plan. And maybe I'm just an old ball coach, but the weekend I love, or the 5 to 7 days I love, where it's just everybody there and there's so much going on. Ain't nothing like Final Four. Final Four City weekend from Wednesday to this. Nobody stays for the championship game.
No, everybody's gone by Saturday. Yeah.
Just
they'll stay for the Final Four and then they leave.
They leave on that Sunday.
And they watch the Final Four.
When it was in New Orleans a few years ago, it was unbelievable.
No, I mean, that seems to be. But, like, that's the other thing. It's like they have. It helps that the Final Four weekend is always going to be. It's not like the competition at the Final Four is going to be bad. Like,
no.
Whereas the NBA just doesn't really have it. It's like, okay, I just can't wait to have them address the All-Star game with another, like, in-season tournament that I don't care about.
True.
All right, we'll save more NBA complaining for later. Let's take a quick break when we come back. Let's get back into Tiger basketball. We'll do that with Jason Munns. He's got a mailbag up over at commercialappeal.com. We'll ask him about that and more when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. Munns, how did you feel when our Dane Danger legal saga finally came to a close?
You know, it's disappointing.
we were really getting a lot of mileage out of it.
Yeah, that is for sure. And the last three off seasons have been good for that. DeAndre, I think, holds the record though. Like DeAndre,
I would agree,
lasted all the way up until November. But then the Caleb Mills thing last offseason, and now Dane Danger, and they've all resulted, they've all ended the same way with Memphis being disappointed. But so, yeah, I mean, it was disappointing. It did not come out of left field. I think I've been pretty clear from the very beginning that this was more than likely going to be how this thing came, you know, would be resolved this way. But that doesn't make it any less disappointing. I mean, you know, like you kind of immediately have to start asking yourself if you're Memphis and you're a Memphis fan, like, okay, now this is official. Okay, what are we going to do?
Right.
Because, you know, you at least had, until that final official word came, you at least had the, no matter how fleeting it may have been, you at least had a glimmer of hope that you could be returning potentially. I mean, like, I think everybody would agree that if Dane Danger had come back, he would have probably been the preseason favorite to win Player of the Year in the American Conference this year. So you go from the glimmer of hope of bringing that back to zero hope of that happening. Now what? That's kind of where my mind went, and I think a lot of other people's mind went immediately was, okay, now what are we going to do?
Okay, I want to get to that in just a second, but I guess clear this up for me, because what actually confused me a little bit was I thought a lot of the optimism wasn't necessarily for the waiver, because you were telling me and other people, like, what he's asking for is not kind of what we have been seeing people get approved. Like,
right.
He wasn't really denying that the three games, it was almost like one of those things where when I saw that what the actual arguments were, I was like, okay, I don't really know where the optimism was. But then it seemed as if the optimism stemmed from they're going to try to battle this legally. Mm-hmm. Did I have a misunderstanding, or did they decide, well, maybe we were going to do that and then decided against that? Like, how did we get to this? Because it felt to me like I never thought the waiver was going to get approved. So when we saw the news that it didn't get approved, that didn't surprise me. But it felt like the whole thing closed shop much more quickly than I expected it to.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the Zakai Ziegler, his situation not working out for him. And I mean, if you look at, you know, just from a big picture standpoint, you look at these lawsuits and these things, like they don't have a high success rate.
Yeah, I think it was something like of the 10, it was like of the 10 that were somewhat in the same ballpark, which is essentially asking for just an additional year of eligibility, which,
right.
And for, you know, certain guys were packaging it certain ways, but that was essentially what they were saying. It's like three were denied, seven were in process. Like, no one was really having, like, no one. This is like the one thing that the NCAA was actually having some legal success with.
Yeah. And so the impression that I have been given is that as this, as everything played out, as the waiver process played out, as these legal cases play out or don't play out or what, like, as everything has sort of gone along over the last few months, the impression that I have been given is that there came a realization or a thought that, okay, sure, if we get denied, we can certainly take this to court and go that route. But let's say that doesn't work. Well, then where am I? Like,
right.
It's going to be August or September, and whatever chance I had at
a two-way or, you know, a camp invite, yeah.
Exactly. Whatever chance I had for that this year goes out the window. So, like, do I really want to be faced with that scenario in August or September or even later, potentially? I think that, yeah, that's the impression that I was given, is that you know, he's started going to these workouts. And, you know, in talking to people, in talking to him and talking to people around him, it sounds like these workouts were going really well. He was getting a lot of positive feedback. He was performing well. I got a report from one of the workouts that he and Janiah Broom were in the same workout, and Dane kind of took it to him. So, like, he was getting encouraging signs for his immediate future that were much more encouraging than whatever possibilities he might have had with, you know, pursuing a legal route.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So let's get to that question of now what next? Because as you point out, you know, if you're trying to go and find a, you know, a 20-point scorer, you know, however you want to view it, like, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if the portal's that open right now.
No, I mean, that's just like, could something like that fall out of the sky and land in your lap? Maybe. I mean, like, you know, sure, it's not a 0% chance, but man, it's close. it is July tomorrow. And, you know, like, you know, people might say, well, you know, it was July 2 years ago, or it was July 3 years ago, or it was September 3 years ago when Penny was still able to go out and make things happen. Well, the rules were different then. There are deadlines and windows that are closed, you know, like that close much earlier now. And it just doesn't quite work the same way it did in years past. And so, it makes it a lot more shaky, you know, like it makes for a little bit more of an uneasy feeling going into July. And yeah, you only have one spot, you know, left truly. I mean, well, you know, he's actually got three spots left to fill, but he said a couple of weeks ago that he was probably only going to sign 13 players. He says last week that he might sign, or he indicates last week that there might be more than just one player that he's looking to add. We'll see how that plays out. But it there is sort of a little uneasiness to where things go from here, because again, the pool of candidates is not only very, very shallow, but those that are in that pool, they're not Dane Danger. They're just not. And so it's going to be, it might, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, if anybody can get creative and pull a rabbit out of their hat, it's Penny Hardaway. So we'll see where things go, but yeah, like Dane Danger was special. And, it seems, you know, the odds are against you, at this point in the game that you're going to go out and get somebody like that.
Okay. Another thing that we've been seeing, and I know you wrote about it a little bit in the mailbag, but it was more in passing, but I wanted you to help me out. The international market is now, are the ways rules written? Because like I used to think, didn't we run into this with, was it Enos Kanter? Didn't somebody play professionally overseas and then try to play in college or like had issues? But now it feels like some of these guys that are playing professionally overseas, they're coming over playing a year of college. Have we rewritten that rule and I missed it?
They must have, because
am I alone in wondering this? Because I was the young man from BYU that just got drafted. Didn't he play for like Barcelona or somebody?
Well, Daniel Vieira Tuck played for Portugal, or played in Portugal at some point in his past, and he's eligible. He's on campus. So, and there have been a number of guys who have been, you know, I've got my alerts turned on for, you know,
if there's an announcement,
yeah. And so, like, I've seen, I feel like I have seen over the last at least week, a handful of international players signing, like I said, within the last week to come and play for a college. And I'm like you, I didn't realize that things had been relaxed quite to that level, but it does appear that it has.
And I guess the question is, like, does that open up? Like, because I never know. It's like, or do guys just kind of decide? Like, I know right now a lot of the European leagues are kind of in their finals or whatnot. And maybe, you know, guys like, hey, rather than just play for your team, you know, next year and then try the draft, like come over in college. Like, is there a growing market for that? Because it seems like if we're at the point in the calendar where we are, it seems like that's a pretty good alternative if you're Penny.
Yeah, I do think that is a growing market. Like, as these deadlines, as the NCAA has, you know, tightened things up a little bit with the transfer portal deadlines and dates and things like that, it does feel like that, you know, schools seem to be more and more willing to, if they can, get over into that market and tap into it, just because it seems as though things are a little bit more relaxed. You know, they don't have to adhere to the same type of deadlines and regulations as you know, transferring Division I athletes do. So, I know of at least three or four different instances within the past few days, it feels like, where a school has announced that they have gone and gotten an international player. And, you know, I first mentioned the possibility of Memphis going after an international player more than a month ago. This isn't anything necessarily relatively new for Memphis. It's just taken a while for them to work it all out. And I don't know that anything is still at this point final, but I am still confident that is something that will come to that is a route that Memphis is going to take advantage of.
Okay, so you were also asked, to the best of your knowledge right now, if you had to pick a starting five for the Tigers, what would it look like?
I think Doug McDaniel is your starting point guard. Sincere Parker is your starting two. Aaron Bradshaw, call him your starting five. And,
yeah.
And you know, it should be noted that the person who asked this question for the mailbag was talking about strictly players who are on the roster as we speak.
Sure.
So, you know, this like could change if they go out and sign a player or two, but yeah, as we sit here today, I think those three are the safest. Like, to me, those three are locked. But then I think Zach Davis has to just, you know, he's a guy who's played in the SEC for 3 years. He's had some success at that level. You know, and the coaches that I talk to who have coached against him, they really, really seem to like him. I think he is a good bet for the starting five. And then I don't know. I mean, like, the fifth spot's a little bit tougher. Although, to me, and this is what I wrote, I think Hassan Abdul-Hakim probably has an edge. I don't know if he has the edge, but I think he has an edge over everybody else on the roster right now, just because of what he can do a lot. And he's got some good size. He's listed at 6'8". I think as long as his transition from Rio Grande Valley to Memphis goes well, I he'd be my bet for the fifth spot.
And he is on campus, right? He's doing all the workouts, right?
Everybody's on campus.
Yeah.
All 12 guys that they have signed are on campus and have been for a little while. So, yeah.
Okay, so we'll wrap up here with the big picture question. And I like this from just Roger Elbert via the Tiger Basketball Insider text. Will Memphis ever leave the AAC? Alex, yeah. Short, sweet, to the point.
Yeah. I mean, this is the way I look at it. I mean, like, I kind of think I understand the spirit with which that question was posed.
Yeah.
Like, I think it might have had a little bit of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
But I didn't, you know, I gotta go with the way the question is written and answer it very directly and literally. And, you know, I don't see a scenario where Memphis is stuck in the AAC 10 years from now, even 10 years from now. Like, you know, certainly though, 20 years from now, 30 years from now,
I think five is where it gets interesting, because five's, you know, 2030, that's where presumably there's more conference expansion because some TV deals are up. I do think in the next 5 years, that's where we'll start to see more shifting. Like, do I expect next summer to see a ton of movement? Not really, but I think it could start rumbling the next summer.
Yeah, and just again, you know, based on what some people are saying, and I mentioned Pete Dammel's article, like, you know, calling Memphis,
the most interesting chess piece for future realignment outside of the power leagues.
Yeah, so the question was not, will Memphis ever get into a power league? The question was, will Memphis ever get out of the AAC? And because, you know, just sort of reading the writing on the wall and the context clues and that sort of thing, like, it seems like a really, really good bet that Memphis gets out of the AAC at some point in the future, like in the somewhat reasonable near future.
I'm with you in the sense of, if you ask me if in by 2030, 2031, is Memphis in the AAC, my answer is probably not. But do you have a better – where I get a little murkier is it going to be playing basketball and other sports in the Big East with football at a different home, or is it everything under one roof? That's kind of where I start to get a little more uneasy, because I think if you would have asked me 3 years ago, I think I would have said they are going to seek out everyone in the same home. It does feel to me like Ed Scott's more open to alternative ideas to try and – put the school in the best chance possible.
I would agree with you 100% on that. But as far as, like, you know, answering the question, like, more specifically, I mean, there are just so many variables, like so many moving parts and so many variables.
I mean, it even starts to me like with this one variable, how many people leave the AAC, or I'm sorry, the ACC?
Yeah.
Because if three leave, well, that's a very different question than if six leave or seven leave,
right?
Because then you start to reach a number where you start to question whether or not the league will even exist, because for financial reasons, there's a reason why they could, if they got the numbers, they would vote to dissolve the league because you wouldn't owe money.
And then on top of that, like, what does their media rights package look like?
Exactly.
If six or seven teams leave, their schools leave. So, I mean, there's just so many variables that it's just, it's futile to try to dive super deep into it, because it will just change a month from now, probably. Almost unequivocally, positively will change by the time, you know, the rubber meets the road down, you know, like later down the line.
Munns, we appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Jeffrey.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Coach, do you have any insight of it? Because I feel like it used to be, if you were a professional overseas player, you couldn't come here. Like, you couldn't come here and be a college player. But it does seem like, I don't remember there being a ruling, and it just feels like guys are doing it. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I actually think it's kind of cool, because you start to see some of these international players, rather than just going straight to the NBA, it's like, all right, let's go over there, see how my game works. And I feel like from the NBA's perspective, you'd much rather have that. It gives you another chance to see, you know, these guys in high-level American-style basketball.
So I don't know if it's an official rule. I think where it gets a little tricky, Brad, is just because they play professional don't always mean, or they play, or they made their national team, don't always mean they're getting money yet. So what has happened now, because of the new NIL, before they take the money there, because they can get millions here, they're sending them to college. Here used to be,
okay,
they stayed, like a Luka now. A Luka will come here because you can go to Duke or SEC school and get $2-3 million, even though he's been playing professional since he was 15. I'm not necessarily sure they started getting paid at 15.
Okay, because they're perhaps in, like, the academies?
And stuff like that, yeah.
Exactly, because you had brought up Igor Damon, who played at BYU.
Right, and I couldn't remember if he played at Barcelona or...
He played in Real Madrid's B team. He got one game with 0.9 minutes of game time with the big team before leaving and going to BYU. So I don't know if it's a similar type of...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.